This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts, fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, light by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It's great to be with you here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, and great to bring in on what was supposed to be opening day, but there's a drizzle. And so, no opening day until tomorrow. Scott Lauber, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much for your time. I know how valuable it is, and we appreciate the minutes you give us.
Anytime, Steve. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for asking. Okay, most teams, let's see, some teams come out of spring training, and they're a little unsettled even going into opening day. They make some moves at the last minute to finally settle the roster down. Some come out of it settled. An example is the Pirates were unsettled the last 2 years. This year, they're settled. How do you look at the Phillies come out of spring training? Settled or unsettled?
You know, really the same team as last year. Made a couple of additions in the off season, and when I say a couple, I literally mean a couple. I mean,
yeah.
Whit Merrifield joins the team as kind of a utility guy, and then, you know, a depth pitcher in Spencer Turnbull who's going to end up starting the season in the rotation. Otherwise, same exact team as last year, same exact team that went to Game 7 of the NLC.
Their chances, you know. I mean, they will. They'll take their shot with this group, and they believe that they have every bit of a chance to get to the World Series as anybody. So, very much settled coming out of spring. I think their number one goal was stay healthy. They managed to do that pretty much, and off they go.
Right. So now off they go. Well, let's talk about Whit Merrifield for a moment. In a 162 game season, what can his versatility mean to the club?
So I've been kind of a Whit Merrifield guy for a long time. I mean, this started for me back when the Phillies were looking for a center fielder in sort of the that Odubel Herrera, Adam Haseley, Scott Kingery, Roman Quinn era, and I always sort of thought, boy, Whit Merrifield would be a nice fit. He's at a little bit of a different stage of his career now than he was then. He's 35. He kind of tailed off last year in Toronto, in part, I think, and the Phillies think, because maybe he played a little too much. You know, he's a guy who's used to playing every day, but he plays six different positions. He could very easily wind up playing 4 or 5 days a week in 4 or 5 different positions. I think that's kind of what they have in mind for how they'd like to use him. But, you know, he also kind of helps them thread the needle in case they have an injury or in case they need him to play one position every day. And, you know, that was sort of a conversation point in spring training because everyone was talking about center field and Johan Rojas and would he make the team, and if he didn't make the team, what would the Phillies do? And really, once they picked up Merrifield, you could see a scenario where Merrifield plays every day in left field, Brandon Marsh moves over to center, and if they needed to give Rojas more time in AAA, they could go that route. It wasn't the way they preferred to do it. They ended up putting Rojas on the team. He will be the center fielder at the beginning of the season, but should he falter, should he struggle, and as I said, if they had an injury, Merrifield's a guy who could easily go play every day. So I think he's a very valuable guy to have over the course of a long season. And, you know, that versatility is a real strength, not only of his, but then he makes the rest of the team stronger. He's kind of I talk about Whit Merrifield like you know, an NBA sixth man, you know, like mm-hmm. he's kind of a tenth man in baseball because he could very easily play a large role, but he doesn't have to be an everyday guy.
All right, so now a year ago at this time, we're waiting for the return of Bryce Harper. And then I thought, as fine a display of guts, watched him play out last year. He's now a year and a half removed from the surgery, Scott. What kind of product did you see in spring training compared to what you thought you might see a year ago?
So my approach to spring training, especially with veteran players, especially with Bryce Harper, is to really not you really can't glean much of anything from it. And I say that because every player is different. They all know what they need to get ready for the season, however many at-bats that is. And in Bryce Harper's case, right, I mean, he had no at-bats last spring.
Right.
He didn't even go on a minor league rehab assignment.
Yep.
So I don't know how many at-bats he ended up with. He missed time because he has a bad back, right? So his back flared up for a few days there in the middle, and he missed some time. So I didn't really glean anything from spring training with him other than that he emerged healthy, right, and ready mm-hmm. Physically to start the season on time. So, you know, that's really the number one thing with Bryce Harper. I do think that it was important for him to get a full spring training at first base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a year ago at this time, you said, you know, you mentioned how a year ago at this time we were waiting for his return. A year ago at this time, he hadn't so much as taken a ground ball at first base.
Right.
That hadn't
That's
even
right.
entered his mind. Yeah. Derek Hall was still the first baseman in, you know, as the fill-in for Rhys Hoskins. He hadn't gotten injured yet, and Bryce Harper hadn't even been cleared to throw yet, you know, with his elbow. So that was something that, you know, he kind of, once Derek Hall went down and they were looking at the possibility of having to yo-yo Alec Bohm between third and first, Harper said, look, what do you say if I try to learn how to play first base, right? That was the middle of last April. So it's a little over a year ago since that happened. And then it was really a crash course for him. You know, he learned first base in about 3 months, and there were things he was limited in doing because he was coming back from the elbow surgery. So this is really a full spring for him at first base, and I think that'll only help him down the road as he kind of gets used to a new position in what's really sort of a second act of his career.
All right. We always talk about up-the-middle defense. You mentioned Rojas. That's what sparks the question. How do you feel about the Phillies' up-the-middle defense, catcher, second, short, and center?
I think you generally have to feel pretty good about it. I mean, as good as you would probably have felt in a while. They've been a pretty bad defensive team now for several years, and they've made a lot of strides in that area, I think, over the last year and a half. And, you know, when you look, you know, obviously behind the plate, Real Muto's as good as it gets in terms of catchers behind the plate.
Mm-hmm,
and,
no doubt.
And then at second base, they have a guy in Bryson Stott who was a finalist for the Gold Glove last year. He's really come a long way in learning that position and becoming a really good second baseman. Rojas is on the team because of his defense.
Mm-hmm.
I've covered baseball, Major League Baseball, for 19 years, and the only guy I've seen better in center field that I've covered is Jackie Bradley Jr. when he was with the Red Sox, was a
right.
gifted center fielder, and Rojas is every bit as gifted.
Yep.
You know, the one area where, up the middle, where you'd have a question, believe it or not, is shortstop, because Trey Turner did not have a good year defensively last year. I think it kind of got swept under the rug a little bit because he struggled so much offensively for two-thirds of the year. But he didn't have he had his worst year on defense that he's had, and they'll look for him to bounce back. But I do think, generally speaking, catcher, center field, second base, they look about as good as they've looked in a long time.
All right, so you bring up Trey Turner. This is going to be proof is in the pudding thing, but sometimes a guy will press his first year, and you talked about his offensive struggle the first half of last year, first two-thirds. And then they get to the second year, and they see this. They seem to settle in a little bit as to who they actually are. Is that what you're going to be looking for with him, to see if he settles into actually who he is?
I think so. I mean, I'll tell you this: sheer volume of words written about various players by that I wrote during spring training. I probably wrote less about Trey Turner than I did about a lot of them because he's not new anymore, and the narrative had kind of played itself out. You know, he had a really bad first two thirds of the season, and then he had a super hot last third of the season. I think the middle is somewhere where he is, and not quite the middle because he's a lot better than he was for the first two thirds. I think the thing that surprised me most, Steve, about Trey Turner last year wasn't how much he struggled. It was how inconsistent, how extreme the extremes were, because he's a guy who over the course of his career has been a pretty consistent player. If you look at basically every split you can find, right-handed versus righties versus lefties, batting second, batting first, there's kind of a tight range of production for him, you know, somewhere between 280 and 315 or 320. Mm-hmm. OPS, also a very tight range. I talked about this a lot with him last year. He kind of prides himself on his consistency, sort of being the same player, being a guy that doesn't really peak and doesn't really have valleys, but he's consistently excellent. And last year we didn't see that. We saw a guy who was really, really not good for a while, and then a guy who was just ridiculously red hot for a while. So I think you're going to probably see, I think the Phillies think that they're going to see that guy who is that consistent all-star kind of player for the majority of the year.
So they haven't changed much in the bullpen either. So what do they need out of that bullpen? What can make Robbie Thompson's life easier decision-making-wise based on the players he has out there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not down on the bullpen, but I'm also not as bullish on it as some people might be.
I agree.
It's interesting. It's interesting because for the last several years, they've had this sort of this spot in the bullpen that's been filled by a veteran reliever. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, like Hector Neris left in free agency, and they signed Corey Knebel. Corey Knebel got hurt, and they traded for David Robertson. David Robertson left, and they got Craig Kimbrell. And now this offseason, Kimbrell left, and they didn't really replace him. And part of that has to do with their confidence in Orion Kerkering. Part of that has to do with the fact that Jeff Hoffman made strides last year and became a really reliable guy from the right side. But, you know, I think they need a lot of things. I think they need peak Hoffman again. They need Kerkering to continue to get better. They need Gregory Soto to have a better year than he had last year. You need Alvarado to stay healthy. You need Dominguez to stay healthy and pitch well. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they're shopping around for another reliever at the trade deadline. It feels like they often are. A lot of teams often are. Yeah. A lot of contending teams often are looking at the deadline. I think they have some depth. You know, they have guys like Luis Ortiz and Junior Marte who made the team on opening day and are optionable guys who can go back and forth and should be able to give them innings. But so they like their depth. I wonder if they're still a man short, and if that's something that they're going to need to address.
I think the part that you mentioned that's so true. At the trade deadline, everybody is looking for that person. Like we just need one more arm out there. Everybody's looking for it. Okay. Everybody always focuses on the end of a season. In your experience, how important has a start been for the most part for teams to get out of the gate in the first 2 months?
So the 2022 and 2023 Phillies would probably be proof that it's not the worst thing in the world if you don't start strong, right? I mean, they were 21-29 in 2022. They were 25-32 at the start of last year, made the playoffs both years. The thing is, if you start like that, it's not a death sentence by any means, but the road gets a lot harder, right? You've got to really put the pedal to the, you know, your foot to the pedal and really get going in order to make the playoffs. So you make your road a whole lot easier if you don't start 7-8 games under 500 over the first 2 months of the season. And it was a talking point for them in spring training. There's no doubt about it. They want to get off to a better start. Now, they don't have to get off to a blazing hot start, but you also don't want to bury yourself in the division. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you've got to play to a 95-98 win pace the rest of the year in order to make the playoffs. You want to be in a spot where you feel like you're coming out of the gate strong and not putting yourself behind the eight ball. So it's important for sure. I have seen teams get off to bad starts and not recover. You know, they are not, you know, they believe that they are a second half team. They believe that they are a team that's built for the postseason, but they also know, even in today's day and age, with three wild cards, and it's a lot easier to make the playoffs than it used to be, they also know that if you're not sort of eyeing the division from day one, if you're not sort of ready to go from day one, you can screw the whole thing up for yourself. So, you know, I do think that it's a focus of theirs to get off to a better start. I don't think they'll panic if they don't, but, you know, I do think it was something that they talked about throughout the course of the spring. How can we make April and May better than it's been the last 2 years?
Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on what was allegedly opening day. Appreciate you as always, Scott. Great work.
Thanks, Steve. Happy to join you anytime.
Scott Lauber, Philadelphia Inquirer. Okay, we will take a break. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.